everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam,
yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
The Bears look dead. The Vikings look dead. And so the division comes down to Detroit and Green Bay.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Look, we have talked about Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin a number of times here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. They present Adam Schefter. They have clinics available in Brookfield, Maguanago, and Pewaukee. And here's why you should be going to their spots. They are faster, they are easier, they are less expensive than the ER or urgent care. They handle sprains and strains and fractures and lacerations and dislocations and so much more. They offer on-site physical therapy, MRI, and outpatient surgical procedures. There is a difference when you go to Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP clinic. We got to be ASAP with Adam Schefter this morning, one of the busiest men in show business, especially this week, the week of the NFL draft. I believe Adam is in Detroit, correct, Adam?
In Detroit. I was in the van to your podcast before during college game day.
You were in my podcast van? My Mercedes-Benz podcast van?
I was in yesterday. I walked there with Field Yates. We had a walk through the casino on Field's 37th birthday. And as we were entering the casino, the woman at the front desk asked Field to see his ID before he could walk.
That's funny.
On Field Yates is still being carded. There's a reason that Big Swagoo calls Field Yates babyface.
I love that. All right, Adam, help us out here. Yesterday, we were talking about how the draft board is going to fall. Chewy is wondering if there will be six quarterbacks. I am watching Michael Penix climb up those draft boards as well. Do you think there will be six quarterbacks taken before the Packers select at 25?
I would say the chances are yes. There will be, I expect, a minimum of five who are off the board at that spot. That I am extremely confident in. And then the question becomes, is there the sixth? And I think there probably will be the sixth as well. So if you're the Green Bay Packers, you want all six to go. You want the quarterbacks to go, because everyone that goes beyond four, it knocks one more player down to the Packers spot. So, yeah, I expect a minimum of five and very possibly six. And here's the reason. Again, teams at 1, 2, 3, Chicago, Washington, and New England all need quarterbacks. You can make the argument the Giants at 6 need quarterback. 11, Minnesota. 12, Denver. 13, Vegas. That's 7 right there. 7 of the first 13, you could say, have a quarterback question. That doesn't even include the Rams, Seahawks, Cowboys, others that have an interest in quarterback. So, again, it's a minimum of 7 teams having some level of interest in a quarterback. And there being only potentially six first-round quarterbacks there to be drafted.
Adam, what is the deepest position in the draft, and what's the shallowest?
I think the deepest would be the offensive line. There seem to be a ton of offensive linemen. I won't be surprised if there are 10 offensive linemen taken in the first round. The most offensive players we've ever seen taken in the first round of the draft was 19 back in 2009. 15 years later, we're going to get, I believe, a minimum of 20 offensive players taken. Look, if it's six quarterbacks and 10 offensive linemen, there's going to be at least four receivers. That's 20. So it's pretty simple to get to the math, and that doesn't even include Brock Bowers, right? So there's going to be a minimum of 20 offensive players picked in the first round of this draft. It's going to set a record for offensive players, and I believe the strength of it is at the offensive line. When we're talking weaknesses in this draft, you may not see a running back come off the board to the middle of round two. Safety is not considered overly deep. And I know I mentioned Brock Bowers, but I've heard some front offices say that there's not a tremendous amount of depth at the tight end position either.
Adam, first of all, I appreciate you getting dressed up for your Jen, Gabe, and Chewy appearance. That's clearly why you've got the jacket and tie on today, so I appreciate you, you know, just, you know, the night before the draft, day before the draft, looking a little dapper. I appreciate that. Earlier today, you tweeted out some Hembo research about first-round hits and misses by position. What was your biggest takeaway from the research that Hembo did?
That offensive linemen are the safest picks in the draft, that they have the highest hit rate, that actually you miss more often on a wide receiver than you do a quarterback. And this is information that he's processed over the last 20 or so years, and he bases it off of a player getting a second contract with the team. And so it looks like centers are the safest pick of all. Offensive linemen have the highest hit rates, and it's probably more difficult to hit on a wide receiver than it is a quarterback. That's when you look at the data, that seems to be what it is right now.
So with you talking about, Adam, the quarterbacks going off the board and the wide receivers going off the board and the offensive linemen going off the board, if the Packers do in fact want to get Cooper DeJean or some other, you know, we've been talking about the Mitchell kid out of Toledo
That's the guy that everybody, that's the guy everybody in Milwaukee wants, isn't it, Jen?
Do you get the impression that's what everybody wants, or they are just resigned to the fact that it seems like he's a goody guy?
I think there's a little, but I think that, I think we want him as a fan base. He's versatile.
Yeah.
He's going to fit in, I think, with what, you know, in terms of being an aggressive defense, with what Jeff Hafley, the new defensive coordinator, wants. I think he would go over more than the safe pick of an offensive lineman.
What's crazy, though, is, Adam, it seems like you think the Packers could, at 25, be the first team to take a defensive player, which is crazy. It's, I mean, that's just impossible.
We could see, I think the first defensive player will go number 8 or 9 in this draft, right around there.
Do you think it'll be the cornerback from Toledo, that Mitchell kid?
I think he's got a chance to be the first defensive player picked. There's been a lot of Dallas Turner conversation. I don't think he's going to be the first defensive player picked. I could see Quinyon Mitchell. I could see Terrion Arnold. I could see Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas. There are some defensive options, but it's going to be a little bit later, right around, you know, pick 8, 9 before we get to one of those.
Adam, since they moved the draft out of New York in 2015 to the cities, what city has put on the best show so far?
You know, it's funny you ask that, and I think people forget the story of what set the ball in motion to get the draft on the road, and it's relevant to your city with the draft coming to Green Bay next year. And what happened was there was a dispute. It used to be at Radio City Musical. First they did it in Madison's, first they did it in a hotel, then they did Madison Square Garden, then they moved it over to Radio City Music Hall, which is where I covered any number of drafts. And then there was a year where whoever runs Radio City Music Hall had rented it out during the week of the draft to the Rockettes for the Easter special. And so the NFL was having a tough time getting it scheduled there because the Rockettes had Radio City Music Hall, not the league. And the league was like, you know, we're not going to be treated like that. And in New York, when the draft was there, it was just like another thing, in addition to Broadway and the museums and all the craziness of New York. And the draft was just another thing. They took the draft, they moved it to Chicago, they moved it to Philadelphia, they moved it to Nashville, they moved it to other places, and in Detroit. When it comes to these places, as you'll see next year, it's like the biggest thing in the world. It's like an off-season Super Bowl. And so, look, you know, when you asked me what's the best place, you know, Philadelphia was wild. We were, you know, right on the steps of a civic building. I don't remember what building that was, but right by where the Rocky statue was. It was
the
crazy.
The museum, right? Is the art museum there?
Yeah. That's where it was. But I also remember, like, being in Cleveland, and as somebody who went to school in Michigan and Chicago, being in Cleveland for the draft, that might have been the single coldest day and night of my entire life. Like, it was freezing. And I remember being in Chicago one year where it was, like, snowing and windy and rainy, and they had to move us inside the theater, the Chicago theater there, because it was so treacherous outside. And again, it was just brutal. It's supposed to be freezing in Detroit tomorrow night, like 39 degrees. And so I'm sure I'm going to really enjoy. I'm very soft. I'm not going to enjoy being outside from, like, you know, 2 in the afternoon till midnight doing the draft in 39 degree temperatures.
Adam, we're celebrating a very special anniversary here in the state of Wisconsin, because today is the 1 year anniversary of the Green Bay Packers trading Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets. Knowing everything we know now, everything that's gone into this past year, if the Jets could hop in their DeLorean and go back a year ago, do you think they'd make the trade again?
Well, not right now, not right now, but again, it's not fair to answer that question today. If Aaron Rodgers does what they hope and think he can and takes them to the heights that they hope and think he can, you would say yes, they would make that trade over and over. But again, he lasted four plays. It didn't work out the way that he, they, or anybody wanted last year. But we're not done. It's still going on. And in this league, if you have one incredible year, you can make the argument it's worth it. But clearly, today, you look at it and you say, that trade worked out well for the Green Bay Packers. It just did, right? They're going to get a second-round draft pick this week, right? That's going to be that pick's going to be Friday night.
Early.
They have to be very happy with how that's gone, and the Jets are still waiting for the return on their investment.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we are talking about it being the one-year anniversary of the Aaron Rodgers trade to the New York Jets. Obviously has not worked out the way the Jets would like, but I think most Packers fans would do it over and over and over again based on the way things have gone this past year. So that was the big splash of last year's draft. You know, all these teams are getting their new guys, they're building for the future, and that was the big news. You don't have to tell us specifics, but do you expect something of that ilk, of that caliber, to go down over the next few days here?
I think what you're always looking for here now, you know, we're in the draft, and so we're waiting to see if the Vikings can come up to 3 or 5, or maybe even, and it's been less talked about, Atlanta at 8, Chicago at 9 to procure the quarterback. That's where I think the next storylines are coming. Where do these quarterbacks go? How do the teams move around the draft to get them? Where do they wind up? And now, look, could we see a trade like that, like the Aaron Rodgers thing? Sure. That's always possible. There's nothing really my radar is not going off right now. Like, oh, boy, I got to be tracking this move. Of course, there's going to be some things that always happen with the draft. There always are. But I'm not looking for anything huge right now. And other than to see, okay, where's Minnesota going to get its quarterback? That is a question I think interests Packers fans quite a bit.
So last time we talked to you, Chewy had asked about lying season, if he thought that people were out there lying. And we know that with the respect they have for you, they're mostly giving you the honest truth about what they want to do. But there is a lot of...
Or just not saying.
Sure, or withholding, absolutely. But there is a lot of conflicting information out there. And my goodness, the vitriol for Caleb Williams is at an all-time high as we are headed into the draft. I feel like this happens all the time where we build a guy up, and then just try to like cut him down right before the biggest night of his career thus far. Where do most people stand on Caleb Williams, as he will likely be a quarterback in the NFC North that the Packers have to contend with?
You know, it's the worst part of the draft process is that there is so much scrutiny on all these guys that everything seems to come to surface in any situations where basically there's a question about a guy. The guy gets dissected and chopped up. Now, where are they on Caleb Williams? I think there's some people that believe he's got the potential to be a franchise quarterback. There are people who believe he's the best quarterback prospect to enter the league since Trevor Lawrence, maybe even Andrew Luck. Again, it doesn't matter what these people believe or say. There are some people that I've spoken to that say Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback prospect than Caleb Williams. Some people have Jaden Daniels as the number one player on the board. Again, what's going to matter is how he comes in, how he adapts to being a pro, whether he takes to that offense. To me, that's the biggest thing. He's going to get a chance to go prove he can be as good as some people believe he can. And if he is, the Bears are going to be set for the next 15 years. If he isn't, it's going to be a huge step back for the franchise, and they're going to be right back to where they've been for many years, searching for a quarterback after so many quarterback failures for that particular franchise.
Well, we will be watching very closely here in the Cheese State to see what happens with that number one pick for the Chicago Bears, as it will likely set the tenor of this division going forward. Adam, we appreciate your time. We know that you're very busy. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you again soon.